Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And words cannot describe the barakat, the blessings of this month, the mercies that are in this month. To mention this in words, that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to human beings and for humanity in this month, what Allah ta'ala has instilled into this month, it's difficult to mention in words. And especially in this month of Ramadan, the special factor and the special thing that Allah ta'ala has mentioned to us and explained to us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a great gift to the ummah in this month of Ramadan. And that azim gift is greater than everything else that Allah ta'ala has given to us in Ramadan. And it's a great gift, a beautiful gift. Allah ta'ala says, Shahru Ramadan, that I gave you the month of Ramadan. Shahru Ramadan. But an ajeeb, a unique and a great gift and treasure that I have given to you. Have you paid attention to that gift? Have you thought about that gift? Have you thought about what I've given to you? شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. This is what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. That the azim gift that I have given to you in Ramadan, the great gift that I have given to you in Ramadan, there can be no greater gift than this. And in which form have I given you this treasure? In the form of the Qur'an. So this is what Allah Ta'ala has given to us. This is such a great gift, Allah Ta'ala says. The greatness, if you want to understand the greatness of this treasure of the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala says, Hudallin nas, that if we look at the whole dunya, that I've created the universe and the heavens and the earth and the skies, and I've created human beings, paradise, hellfire, and everything we see around us. Allah Ta'ala said, I created the human being, Hudallin nas. And there are two different types of human being we see in the world after making everything. One are those people who will go to paradise, and second are those people who will go to Jahannam. And in the dunya, Allah Ta'ala says, this is how people are distributed around the world. And here in the world, people will either make their Jannah or they will make their Jahannam. And this is a special message of Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. I've given you such a gift. So now we need to think, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Qur'an, that this azim duty that I have given to each human being, that I have given you a duty, just one duty, the rest, staying, living, eating, drinking, is my responsibility, Allah says. Like some people say, the employer, that this is your job, the car, the house, and spending on you, everything we will give to you. Isn't it? Many employers or companies give these perks. In the dunya, you get jobs like this. They give a package with the job. So Allah Ta'ala has also given a package, total package to the human being in the dunya. That your job, your duty is one. That you need to, your human being, you need to create, manufacture, and build yourself up towards paradise and not go towards hellfire. Allah Ta'ala says, I can obviously send you Jahannam, but I've given you all the opportunity and chance. Everything you have to do in your life is to focus yourself to get to paradise. And the rest, you're staying, living, eating, drinking, is my responsibility, Allah says. Yes? That I will create the seas and oceans, and from that there will be salmon fish and trout fish and beautiful different forms of fish that you will net and eat. You can't create this, can you, Allah Ta'ala says? Allah Ta'ala says, you'll make a car, maybe, manufacture, but show me a fish. Okay, let's say today we'll manufacture a salmon, and then for example, we will eat it and roast it and fry it. Has this ever happened? Has a human being ever manufactured this? No. Maybe yesterday, okay, there's a Mercedes and the company says, let's change the design. After 6 months, a new model is released to the world. That's all we can do as human beings. Toyota says, okay, this is the new model. Okay, let's put this one to the back and release another model after 6 months, etc. And make people foolish so that they can spend their money on these items, like phones keep getting released. 8 model, 7 model, 6 and 5. But it's the same thing. Same thing, and the human being is very happy. Oh, I've got status. What phone have you got? You got the 5, oh, I've got the 7. 7, and he has to spend £600 more. They trick the human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that your living and eating, drinking, clothes, house, everything won't come from the earth. Allah Ta'ala says it will come from above, from the heavens. You won't even realize, where is this coming from? This rain that we look, everything around us, the rain brings down the rizq. The rain, when the rain falls, and we say, oh, there's a drought, the land is barren. But they have land, we have land, isn't it? Yes, so why is that land not giving the crops and the corn and the wheat? For this reason, because it comes from the heavens, the skies. It doesn't come from out of the ground. Where does it come from? The heavens. So when the rains, the drops of rains that fall, the drops of rain when they fall, they bring everything. They bring the harvest with them. They bring the nourishment and the energy with them. So rain is very impactful, you can say. Has a lot of impact. And rahmah comes to those people who are good people, pious people, the pious servants of Allah. But when the wrath comes, then Allah Ta'ala says the rain comes down as mercy for the good people. But if there are people who are sinful, then Allah says that same rain which is mercy can also become adab, wrath. So Allah says everything's in my control. You're eating, drinking, bread, food. Don't worry about this. You have to worry about one thing. You just have to have one pastime. Allah says, I'm giving you a temporary period of time. For what? To prepare. Just a few days. Not much. Not much. You won't even realize you'll die. Who died yet today, yesterday? We don't even know. You were born. Nobody will remember you. You were born. Where did you live? Your children. You got married. And then you used to go to your in-laws. You'd come back from your in-laws. Then you do this as a pastime, as a hobby, etc. You'll forget. And everyone else will forget. The people who you will leave behind in the dunya, they won't remember you. They'll be worrying about themselves. I have to give my bills, pay the bills, work, go to work. Or should I sit down and think about this person who just died? Don't have time for that. I've got to think about my kids, or do I think about my father? Sit down, my father, he's gone, that's it, he's finished, let me go home quickly. Got to get back, got work to do. Oh, I ain't got time to think about those people who just died. That's how we are. Is this not the reality of life? This is dunya. This is the dunya. So very few days Allah says I've given to you. Don't think you've got some very lengthy period of time. Don't be mad, don't be crazy. Allah says the food, drink, sustenance, earnings, wealth. Allah Ta'ala says that I give the rizq. I will increase your rizq, I'll reduce it, increase it, I'll give you according to your stomach size. Don't worry, you don't need to run after people and do naqal. So why don't we do this action? Why are we not satisfied with the prescription that Allah Ta'ala has given to us and follow His formula? Because Allah Ta'ala sent an enemy after us, Shaitan. He says, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you running after Allah? Etc. No. Go and plow your lands and worry about food and drink and etc. No. Allah Ta'ala's big promise, Shaitan makes us forget. Isn't it? We forgot such a big promise of Allah, and Shaitan makes us forget. Go off track. Such a big promise of Allah, and Shaitan, he comes and he wraps it in a worry and he makes us forget and takes it out of our mind, out of our heads. 70, 80 years a person will have figured, even if he's about to die, doctors are looking at him, analyzing him. He's got worry, my house, how will I sell it, who will take the money? And he's lying down in the hospital ward in the bed, his oxygen mask on his face, and family's sitting around him. Oh, my house, is it sold? My house. And he's about, he's ill. Oh, you know my gold, I've put it here, take it out of there, and I've got that this much money in the bank. Oh, I have to issue this check to this person. Oh, the gold bangles, put them there, or give these gold bangles to this person, to this daughter of mine. So much a person, Shaitan makes a person distracted and astray. He's leaving this world, departing. Even then Shaitan says to him, that you have got all of this, these are your possessions, what are you going to do? And to attain dunya, a person goes so far from his Rabb, that what Allah Ta'ala has told us to refrain from, the don't do these actions, and then we start to earn in that same way. We take those means, the methods that are that will lead to ghadab, wrath of Allah. You say, no, it doesn't make any difference. It's only a few days. Okay, let's do it like this. Let me take money from here, or let me do it this way. Isn't this our story? The Quran explains this to us. That Allah Ta'ala says, I gave you such a great gift of the Qur'an. I gave you my kitab, Allah Ta'ala says. Why is it a great gift, the Qur'an? Allah Ta'ala says, Hudallinnas. That the Qur'an, Allah says, in the month of Ramadan, I gave you the Qur'an. And Allah says, I've put a great quality in the Qur'an, that I gave you a mission. And when you forget that mission, subhanAllah, when you come into time wasting and the tricks, and you try to attain those things that I've promised myself to you, that I will give to you. Udallinnas, Allah says that at that time my Quran will explain to you that don't do this, and it will take you out of the difficult patch you are in. It will be wahid, one thing. One thing. Don't do tasbih when you're listening. Pay attention to your sheikh, to the words of your sheikh. This is against adab and good manners, okay? At the time when you are with your sheikh, in the company of your sheikh, and your sheikh's talking, discussing, then your face, mouth, hands, body, totally focus and pay attention to sheikh. If you're sitting there doing tasbih, Allah, 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 what sort of dhikr is this you're doing? Huh? This is riya showing off and shaitaniyah. Look how shaitan, how he attacks. And he whispers in the person's mind. If a person doesn't do the course of adab, manners, and regard, then it's a waste of time sitting here and just spending the time. If we don't have the adab, remember this, what I'm saying, that the pious predecessors have taught us and explained to us and given us guidance on adab, manners. Read this, understand, then go and create a link with the sheikh. Otherwise, 70, 80 years, people waste. 70, 80 years, I'm telling you the truth. That person who has adab, he will have a good destiny. Person without adab will have a bad destiny. So those people who don't know the A, B, C, D, E of this path of tasawwuf, we don't come here for thawab to this gathering. If there was thawab we need to get when we come here, then you should be in itikaf now, isn't it? If you came with the intention of thawab, earning maximum reward, then you should be in itikaf. Because where are the people earning the most reward at this moment in time? Where? Where? In itikaf, in the last ashura, the last 10 days, where's Allah Ta'ala kept the most reward? Itikaf. That's what people are. But there's a greater thawab than that. Hudallin nas, Allah Ta'ala says. That hidayah, guidance is received at that point where your sheikh, the teacher, is giving hidayah, distributing hidayah. So you don't go there to get thawab, you are going there to attain hidayah. Because thawab, it is a result of hidayah. If you don't have hidayah, guidance, then where will you get thawab from? Reward. If you sit down like a bird, like a potato, and sitting there thinking about itikaf or other things, and you have no akal, and there where you're going to learn adab, and you want to learn manners, and you're like a thief in your life, and you don't understand what is deen, maybe to the rahmah of Ramadan, some words will come out of that servant of Allah, that teacher, and they will come into your heart, and your life will be made, and you're sitting like you're in itikaf. You've got your head down, and doing ibadah. I haven't seen this until today, that a murid is doing something like this, a student. If a person does not assess himself, analyze his life himself. Now, is this something? Hazrat Sahib, can I sit in itikaf? Tell me, is this something to ask about? Will I say to you, don't sit? If a person is just worried about this and he cannot understand this simplicity in his life, then how can he be a student? If you've come here to me, you are not coming here to get rewards. There are many paths to get rewards. Sit down, recite Quran at this time. Why are you listening to me? Recite the Quran at this time. There are many other ibadah, there are many ulema scholars giving bayans. Go to their masjid. There will be a naat mashallah as well, and speech, etc. Isn't it, Haji Sahib? Isn't it? So how many masjids have you left to come here? You're not mad, are you, Haji Sahib? Does he not know what is itikaf? Does he have a desire to sit in itikaf? Look at his age, mashallah. But Allah Ta'ala has given him awareness, understanding. Awareness, what? That until now, even now, you have not created that awareness within your heart that you can attain the thawab through ibadat. Allah Ta'ala says, no, you cannot. That when some person speaks about thawab, can I do this action? Can I do that action? So who will say to you, don't do it? Don't you know yourself what you have to do? So what have you come here to do? What have you come here to do? So it's good, isn't it? So a person has carried out an action of disrespect, and now we've gone on to that subject. This is Allah's karam mercy that Allah Ta'ala allowed me to say a few words about hidayah. God, so this is what happens in the khanqa. One person does an act of disrespect, and then quite a few people's islah, purification happens due to that. Maybe he won't improve, maybe he will stay like a monkey as an animal, carry on disrespectfully. But many other people, due to that individual's actions, then the explanation of hidayah, then they will improve themselves. When you come here, this is like a khanqa's environment. When I say come here, then act it like it's a khanqa. People say, oh, why don't you make it like a khanqa? But this is the adab, the manners we should have here. So when you come here, for what reason do you come here? For hidayah, for guidance. Yes, thawab. There are many other paths for thawab. The people who go for thawab, they're sitting there. The people who have gone for thawab, they don't even know that where can they get thawab from, reward from, hidayah from, guidance from. So this is such a big thing, the Qur'an that I'm speaking to you about, isn't it? How much thawab there must be for reading the Qur'an that Allah Ta'ala has given a gift. Allah, is he not given a gift? The same Qur'an says that many people read the Qur'an and I send la'na on them. Curse on them. What is that verse? It's not coming to my mind. Hafiz Ab, what's that verse? Oh, you're weak Hafiz, then you can't even tell me the verse. The strong Hafiz, you should be sitting in front of me, a strong Hafiz. I'm not a Hafiz, I forget the verse. Straight away tell me that verse, you will get the thawab, a lot of thawab. And don't try to hide, sit in front, take the verse out straight away. MashaAllah, there are many mashayikh like this. That they would have good Hafiz with them. Wherever they hinted to a verse, they would recite that verse from the Qur'an. That's how the person should be sitting in front of me. That as soon as I say something, recite the verse straight away, then see how the tafsir comes. You recite the verse and I will do the tafsir, commentary. So, what was I saying? That what are you reading, doing dhikr at this time, that all your actions are against what I'm saying? For example, a person, he is next to me or with my company. What's the benefit? Allah says, the Qur'an, you're kissing me, you're looking at me, touching me. What's the benefit of the Qur'an? So here now, we understand the adab, the respect. Who is it that teaches adab? Don't think I'm going to say do this or that. No, these are two things. Either Allah Ta'ala will put hidayah, guidance into the heart. Especially very few people get this, that very quickly Allah Ta'ala wants to take deen from that person. So quickly that person learns adab. Or you have to make effort and seek and look for, what are the adab of the sheikh? What are the manners of the sheikh? What's the respect for the sheikh? For the teacher? Because people, no, shirk. If you do this, you'll do shirk. There's a big difference between adab, respect and shirk. The Sahaba Ikram, did they do shirk with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? They came to wipe away shirk from this earth. What was their adab, their manners? They wouldn't speak with a high voice in front of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They wouldn't raise their face and look eye into eye. They wouldn't do that. This was disrespect. And this same adab we need to exercise today. That's the same adab for the shirk today. For example, today we have the mashayikh, the walis of Allah, they are the deputies of the Prophet ﷺ. They teach us the same message that he came to. And we sit there looking in face, staring at him and drawing our job, and he's speaking, we're laughing in front of him. Is this the tariqah? Is this the method? Brothers, this is a different class. This is a unique class, and you'll attain so much, and you'll attain it from this sohbat, from this company. That's how you'll become a human being. But we need to prepare for this class. We need to have a fertile ground to come to this mahfil. Gathering a person gives sadaqah, prays nafil, and does dua. You don't come here with disrespect, looking at each other and laughing and showing our teeth and dropping our jaws, etc. No, this is not adab manners. We need to understand how to sit here with focus energy. So Allah Ta'ala said, I've given you a gift. And that gift is the gift of hidayah, guidance. The Qur'an, such a gift, hudal linnas. Allah said the Qur'an was first bestowed from on high. Hudal linnas wa bayyinatin min al-huda. As guidance to man. So Allah Ta'ala says everyone's equal. Because the Qur'an came and was bestowed to man from on high. And Allah says that if a person doesn't take hold of the Qur'an and doesn't take the guidance from the Qur'an and doesn't live his or her life according to the Qur'an every second, every moment, totally, and a person doesn't come into the shadow totally 100% of the Qur'an, then that person will not be successful on his mission and he will not be able to attain hidayah guidance. So when is Allah giving us this message? Shahru Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has given this special message. Why? Because what are we being told in this month? Our iman is being refreshed. Our deen is being refreshed. Allah Ta'ala says, what's the link and connection between you and the Qur'an that I've given to you? What's your link? What's your connection? Allah Ta'ala says, you are running around mad. You've touched the Qur'an, you look at the Qur'an, but you don't know what the Qur'an is telling you to do. Allah says, if you want to be successful in the Akhirah, any individual, any person, if you want to be successful, Allah says, insan hai, any human being. If he or she wants to be successful, then we need to take hidayah from the Qur'an. And don't think hidayah, this is not a kitab. For example, you have to be, that Allah Ta'ala has been miserly and has kept things or restrained things from the Qur'an. No, Allah Ta'ala says, hudal linnas. Allahu Akbar. وَبَيْنَةٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. So Allah says that this Qur'an was first bestowed from on high as guidance unto man and a self-evident proof of that guidance. So وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. To get hidayah, Allah says every second of your life the Qur'an differentiates between haqq and batil within 1 second. You'll know what is right and wrong, truth and falsehood. There will be no doubt left after you take the guidance of the Qur'an. If a person takes the Qur'an and he doesn't get guidance, then it's his fault. It's not the fault of the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an will give you every answer. بَيِّنَاتٍ. Allah Ta'ala says clearly, the Quran gives the guidance without any doubt, with all the proofs. No, I didn't know, I kept on eating haram, I didn't know, I kept on doing wrong actions. Allah says, question doesn't arise. Question, the reason here is that you've not taken the hidayah from the Quran, you didn't get the guidance that you should have taken. What's the guidance of Quran? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't know whose guidance, which Maulana you are listening to, going to, who you are listening to, etc. Allah Ta'ala says, some people after listening, if you don't take the dalil from the Quran, then don't listen to any person, doesn't matter how great a Maulana is. Bigger Maulana is. And remember this point. The Quran's got self-evident proof contained within. So it doesn't matter if somebody, however great a scholar he is, if he's saying something to you, if his words are not backed up with dalil from the Quran, then to accept the question doesn't arise. Because everyone gets hidayah from where? Say it loudly. From the Quran, from Allah Ta'ala's kitab, hudal linnas, Allah Ta'ala says. So if bayyanat, if the light is not shed on the Quran, wa bayyanatin minal huda wal furqan, if that explanation doesn't illuminate that verse of the Quran, then don't accept that explanation. And if the Quran is given guidance, direct, and it's proven, then the person who rejects that, then that person has no iman. He doesn't have iman. How can he say he's a Muslim? That's it. Iman is finished. Deen is finished. Then he speaks nonsense and can do what he wants and say what he wants. But there's no link. Oh, I'm this and I'm that. No, he's a drama. He has no iman. He's become a munkar, rejecter. And his path is totally different, the jahil, speaking nonsense. So this is a great, great gift Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the Quran. Such a great shifa al-mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala says that the Quran is shifa al-mu'mineen. Another dalil, that the person who has iman, he has a link with the Quran, and his status is then different because he's got iman, he's got belief, and he's taken the hidayah of the Quran. He's taken the link with the Quran, and his link now is different. It's unique now with the Quran. It's strong connection, strong relationship, because he's accepted the message of the Quran. Allah is Wahid, Allah is One, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the final prophet. Whatever he tells us, we will accept it. Everything he brought to us, told us, explained to us is haq truth, and we will listen to Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And a person who believes both these things is a mu'min, a believer, and then if shifa al-mu'mineen, then he is cured. So hidayah will be given to that person, and now the Quran will cure the disease is in the heart of that believer from the Quranic verses. What a great point. Great learning. So now, what do we see here? What do we understand here? The Quran is giving us the solution. Now, it's not the achievement of a human being. He says, okay, Allah, I love you. Which Muslim doesn't love Allah? Which Muslim doesn't love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The worst and the worst of the sinner can claim, and he says, right, he's honest when he says, I'm a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm the lover of Allah. Totally he's correct. She is honest if someone was saying this, because this is the reflection and result of iman, that even unconsciously, unknowingly, a person has a link with the haqq and the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah instills into the heart of the person, this is the result of iman. Doesn't matter how bad a person is or is a sinner, na'udhu billah, may Allah forgive, if someone disrespects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in front of the worst of the sinners, he will not accept, he will not be able to bear it, he will never listen. And forget about the greatest of mu'mineen, but a normal person who we look down upon and say, oh, he's not even practicing, the question never arises that that person will disrespect Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, we are deceived on this point here. Many of us, we think this is enough for us. Yes? So, for example, don't you practice this? No, I'm a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have ish for him in my heart. And when I recite the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tears come to my eyes. And when I listen to his naat, then my emotions run high. And I know that I'm a good person. And this is my ishq, my love for the Prophet. This is deception, a very strong deception. Very strong miscalculation. Every one of us has ishq. Every one of us has the love. Everyone unconsciously, unknowingly has the love. One is ishq and one is the ta'alluq. One is the relationship. So one is to have love and one is to develop the relationship. So have I developed the relationship with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after I've brought about the ishq in my heart? So if I don't have a link, if I don't have that ta'alluq, if I don't have that relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, then my love, it is not being used properly. For example, if I say I have love for this sheikh, he's a great sheikh, I'm an ashik, I love this teacher. You can praise that sheikh and your love so much, but if you don't have a link with that person, a relationship with the person, then you will not attain the fares, the benefits from that teacher. So if I don't create the relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, then his fares will not reach to me, his blessings and his effect will not reach to me. And this is not the result of my love, it is the love that creates this relationship. It is not the achievement of the lover.
that he says, oh, I'm close to the person who I love. No, it's the achievement of the person who we love that he drags us to his nearness. So this is the shan, the glory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great personality, the greatest personality. That why can't we follow him? That even the people who don't believe, they become his lovers. So imagine the person who believes his love. So it's not our achievement individually, it's the achievement of the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much of a relationship and a link do I have with him, attachment? That do I have a link with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If he says today, for example, come and see me tonight, I say no, it's raining, it's windy, let's meet tomorrow, Hazrat, so we can meet each other. So then we realize that that link and that relationship has failed because you didn't have that connection. So such a love, remember this point, that this love is natural in here. It's not something you can make up or show off, and at any time you can fall down like a pack of cards if you don't have that connection. So ishq, love, can collapse. Just love, empty love. Or for example, Hazrat Sahab, I love you. Oh, I really like you so much and I have regard for you and respect for you. That's fine. That's respect. That's regard. For example, you see a wali of Allah, you respect that person. Allah has instilled a special quality, a nur, a jalak, in every wali of Allah, that everyone around that wali believes in that person and loves that person. Even if he doesn't accept him, he says, no, he's a good person. Even the people who swear at that wali of Allah, when you, for example, you see the mukhalifeen, the people who oppose the mashayikh, if you go to a town or a village, you'll see, always every wali has certain individuals against him. When they ask them, what's the person? No, he's good, he's pious, he's good. Oh, yeah, no. They are enemies, they do hate that person inside, they are munafiqs, maybe. But they say, no, he's a good person. They'll meet him, embrace him, kiss his hands. Sometimes they'll pick up his shoes, his slippers. They'll do everything, even though inside their heart they don't like him. But because there's love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there's an azmat that Allah Ta'ala allows that to reflect, but that person's not attaining the fares, the blessings, because he doesn't have the ta'alluq, the link with that shaykh. So do you understand the difference between love and ta'alluq? So never fall into the trap of, I've got love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love Allah, everyone loves Allah, who doesn't love Allah? And why won't we? Because that is the base, the foundation of the, but how much link to have with Allah? How much do I obey Allah Ta'ala's words? Okay. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we claim to have love. I claim to have love. I cry when I hear his name. But how much of a relationship do I have with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? With the friend of Allah. I've got a lot of love. And I should ask myself, I've got love, but what's my link and connection with the teacher, with my shaykh? When he has given me a certain direction, have I accepted it? When he said something, did I understand? When he said something, did you accept? But you don't have the taluk, then the love is weak indeed, very weak indeed. So the Qur'an, the greatness of the Qur'an is in everybody's heart. Now I come to the topic. Every man will keep love with the Qur'an, the azmat, the reverence, the awe, the glory of the Qur'an. Everyone has this. If we're not in the consciousness, a person who's a sinner will say, I swear by the Qur'an, because he has the awe and reverence of the Qur'an in his heart. And even a most sinful person, if he sees that the Qur'an is placed somewhere, it's not in a good place, he'll run. He'll pick up the Qur'an, kiss it, embrace the Qur'an. Is this not the case? Because there's respect, doesn't matter how sinful a person is. What is this action? This is the love. And will this give him success? The love for the Quran? Just touching it or kissing it? No. It won't. This is a natural instinct, a natural gift that Allah Ta'ala gives, that everyone in the depths of the heart has the reverence and the respect for the Quran and Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we need to develop this, we need to transform this. Remember, every person who has iman has love and reverence and respect for the Quran. Nobody can imagine that we don't have that. Just now there's a girl 1.5 years old or 2 years old, and she doesn't even know how to sit, and look at her achievement. That the Quran, if a page of the Quran is put in front of her, then she will start moving around, swaying, like a hafiz of the Quran is saying, hey, what's she doing? And you put another page of a book, and then she just sits normally. So when she sees the Quran, the child, so did somebody teach her? Did somebody explain to her? No. So what we realize, her mother is a hafidha, and her father is a hafidh, mashallah. And that Quran, the nur, the light of the Quran has reached to that child, and the azmat, the greatness of the Quran is in that child's heart already. So this is the result. So this is what we need to understand, my friends, that we need to understand. So this is the Quran. The greatness of the Quran is in everybody's heart, is absorbed into everybody's heart. An azim, great, great kitab Allah Ta'ala has given to us. But the great achievement is not that we love the Quran. But Allah Ta'ala says, yes, you do have the greatness and the respect for the Quran in your heart. And the rest of the year, you spend your time with the greatness of the Quran. There's no doubt, the Quran says. And Ramadan says, there's no doubt. Ramadan reminds us, refreshes us, that I've given you this azmat, that whatever your hal is now, look at the Quran, how people read it. The Quran, mashallah, has brought us to taught itself in Ramadan. Hafidheen, that they have the month of Quran in front of them, Quran behind, left, right, all the time. Quran recitation. People spending the time looking and reciting the Quran. Allah says, this is the gift I've given to you. That it attracts people to it. And Ramadan is teaching us this. Ramadan is teaching us this. And look at the greatness of the Quran. I remember a hadith now in my mind. Subhanallah. That what is the effect of the Quran? What is the greatness of the Quran? 200 verses a day. Aqari, this is a hadith in Kunzul Iman and Abu Dawud, possibly has been narrated from there. That individual, look at the greatness of the Quran, just whichever individual recites 200 verses of the Quran by looking each day. How many? 200 verses of the Quran by looking. Kullu, every day, kullu yawm, always, consistently. This is his regular habit, and Allah Ta'ala has given a limit here. If 200 verses a day a person recites every day of the Quran, then what will be the result for that person? That when he will be lowered into his grave, then all around him or her, if the graves, he will do shifa, intercede for those graves around him. Subhanallah. This is the result of the person who reads the Quran regularly. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Look at the greatness of the Quran here. The person who recites 200 verses a day, the person who, so seven graves around that person, when he's lowered into the grave, due to his reading of the Quran, the punishment will be reduced in those seven graves. And he will lessen the adab for his mother and father, even if they are mushriks. Allahu Akbar. So this is the result of the Quran that is being read. Imagine this. Imagine this result. So this Quran, the barakah, the blessings, we see this, right? So a person, for example, is worried about his own self in the grave when he's lowered. He's answering the questions are even hard for himself. But the person who has a little bit of a link with the Quran, his greatness will be so much that when he's lowered into the grave, he will have the strength to intercede for the graves around him. Can a person do shifa in his grave? Person's worried about himself. Yes, every man and woman will be worried about the azab that's coming to me or her, etc. But look at the shan, the glory of the person who is dealing with the Quran, that when he is passing away and people are saying, give him ghusl, lower him into the grave, and he's lowered into the grave, he can do shifa for those around him. Say Subhanallah, due to the azmat of the Quran. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar bin Al-As radiyallahu anhu, I remember another hadith of his. A beautiful point here, that either here, this was the first hadith was with regards to 200 verses, where he said one verse of the Quran, yes, that this Quran that we read, one verse of the Quran, if a person reads one verse of the Quran, then what will that one verse do in the akhirah for that person? Subhanallah, that verse, one verse, will elevate his rank, his status very high. According to the ayah, the verse, one verse will elevate his status and one will show the light, the illumination in that, in parallel with that. What is the hikmah? The light of nur, the ray of nur, and that recitation of that one verse, and that ray of nur will come and assist that person. So imagine the person who read much more Quran than that, or knows the whole Quran. What will be that person's status? So what do? The whole of Ramadan, before Ramadan, what do in Ramadan? We read the Quran. We look at the Quran. We don't read this way, do we? The way we should read and recite. I'm just generally speaking, mashallah, you are all pious. I'm not addressing you at this moment. I'm addressing people. Generally speaking, everybody. So how do we treat the Quran? We don't look at the Quran. We don't go near to the Quran. We don't read the verses of the Quran. We don't have a link with the Quran. We don't have the attachment with the Quran. What a great thing that person makes a habit, an attachment with the Quran. Okay, I will recite one ruku, one section. Or if it's too much time, if I'm very busy in my life, I will recite one ruku. The Quran is such a great kitab. Subhanallah, just to look at the Quran. A person who starts to regularly look at the Quran, every day gets up and looks at the Quran, then Allah Ta'ala says, I forgive the person just by his regular looking at the Quran. To touch the Quran gives forgiveness. To look at the Quran gives forgiveness. Why? Because the Quran, its greatness is such that Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we attain the nearness through the Quran. Both things we get from the Quran. Both things, Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the third thing after Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the Quran. Is it not? And those people who have the Quran in their hearts, then what will be their hal? Subhanallah. I give you one example. You all know this example. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us this teaching. Subhanallah. That if you take the Quran and seal it in the leather and put it into the fire, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then it will not burn. It will not burn. Allah's Nabi gave that explanation. If you put the Quran in the leather, seal it in leather, wrap it in leather and put it into the fire, maybe this is the miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time. The Quran will not burn. Not the Quran will burn, that leather won't burn. That's wrapped around the Quran. So if the person has got the Quran in his heart, then how can that person burn in Jahannam hellfire? Subhanallah. What a great hint the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given to us, that teach your children the Quran. Make them hafidh. We make them a lot for money, careers and wealth, for the greed of the world. Because shaitan is whispering into our ears, where will you earn from? Soon as the children are born, we put adhan in there. We don't give adhan. Rather, we are saying in the air, be ready, you're going to soon grow up. And in the other air, we say, where are you going to eat from? Be careful, where are you going to earn from? Bring the food to the table. But the people who give the proper adhan in the ears of the children, as soon as the child is born, then that child takes the Quran first and foremost in the life. But if we give adhan in the ear, a temporary adhan, oh, we're calling to your ear, you're born, be careful, you're about to come to the world, you're going to grow up. Then the other, we say, be careful, when you grow up, you need to have a good profession. And how are you going to earn and make money? Soon as they're 7-8 years old, we send them to the marketplace and start selling and buying and earning wealth and money. We start to fikr about these things when the children just grow up a little bit. We take the children in that direction. So the Quran is giving us a big lesson in the month of Ramadan, that the Quran is the azmat, the greatness, the glory, and the high status. And how have we treated the Quran? So the first link, we need to develop the relationship with the Quran. At least those who read the Quran, don't forget the Quran. This is not the shan of a Muslim. There are two ways of reading: the hifz, memorizing the Quran. May Allah give us tawfiq. But if you're not a hafiz, even then you get a great reward for reading the Quran. So don't lower yourself and lower your hopes. Oh, I'm not a hafiz, I can't read the Quran. No, go towards the Quran. Make a promise today, solid promise, as soon Ramadan departs, just like I used to recite Quran in Ramadan, and I made a program, I will complete one Quran or two Quran or four Quran. Make a total and solid niyyah intention that don't leave the Quran. This is the greatest gift of the Ramadan. And just like you love the Quran now, and you read the Quran in Ramadan, and you recited the Quran for thawab, because we like to run after thawab, isn't it? Reward and reward and more reward. Allah Ta'ala has given us that attraction. And we have greed as well for reward. So Allah Ta'ala says, but you have a deep link with the Quran. Don't leave the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, inshallah, we won't leave the Quran. And then, what does Allah Ta'ala say after that? That hudal linnas, Allah gave the Quran from Most High as hidayah, guidance. And you're reading this Quran, but kamal, you people, that due to my barakah, you have understood and fulfilled both rites of the Quran. You've read the Quran and you've taken the hidayah from the Quran. Guidance from morning until evening. Just like the Quran said that these things are lawful, you consider them unlawful. You've hidden the truth, you've backbited, you've consumed haram. And for example, you've hidden from that. The most wretched of people, they keep the fast and they carry on to do haram or eat haram or do haram business. There can be no more wretched and unfortunate person than those in the world. But those people, Allah gives understanding and awareness and recognition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that understanding, and they save themselves in Ramadan. Oh, I've got to be careful, I've got to go away from the haram due to the barakah of the fast. So to get this is a very big point, that Ramadan, he leaves all of the bad actions and haram actions and unlawful actions, and he's reduced his work and business. 30 days is respect. The fast says, for my sake you had respect and regard, and you've done a big action, you've done good actions. And Allah Ta'ala says that I'll give you a big reward. The fast says that you'll get a big reward, that if you respected me and revered me, then most definitely you linked the Quran with me in Ramadan, and you read me for thawab, for reward in Quran, the Quran says. And you took the hidayah. So you took both things from the Quran. You understood all of the principles in the Quran, that this is lawful, this is unlawful. This is allowed, this is not allowed. And the person who has this basis of understanding and upholds the principles of the Quran, that alhamdulillah, that Ramadan has come, and Ramadan, you have told me this message. And the Ramadan says to the believer that you read Quran and you did both things. You took the guidance and you read it. So you considered halal as halal and haram as haram. Then totally you have given the proof for your iman, Allah says, and Allah Ta'ala has accepted you, and Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. This is what this verse is saying, and this is the truth, and this is what happens. So the fast, the Ramadan, gives us the message that my center point, my focal point, my hinge is the Quran. And if you don't take the instructions from the Quran, and you left eating and drinking and fasting, and you continue to not understand what is halal and haram and you carry on sinning and going against me, then the fast would say, then I would not be the fast that's accepted. You could not say that I'm fasting, that you're fasting. So the fast is telling us that the beauty of the fast is due to the Quran. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah says that it was the month of Ramadan in which the Quran itself was bestowed. So the Quran is a strong link with Ramadan. So Ramadan, the day of each fast, is telling us, the fast is saying to us that if you're not practicing the Quran, then you've cut off the link, the Quran, from Ramadan, and you're not practicing Ramadan properly. So Quran says, read me, do talawa, recitation. But we put the hand on the Quran and we put a veil, an obstruction from the message of the Quran. But the fast has come to remove the veil. Quran says, you could read me 100,000 times over, 1,000 times over, 10 Quran khatams, 10 completions of Quran, but your fast will not be accepted. Your fast will only be accepted and complete is on the second condition, is have you accepted the Quran as hidayah? Are you practicing the Quran? This is what will give the acceptance of the fast. Hidayah. That's why many times in Ramadan we say, read Quran, recite it, recite it, recite it. But we forget the second component, the essential component. After reading the Quran comes guidance. Hidayah. And Allah says, your fast is accepted because you live your life from morning till evening and through the night in the light of the Quran. You've made everything haram, which is haram. If something is halal, we say halal. And we say lawful is lawful and unlawful is unlawful. And Allah, we accept your principles and the message of the Quran. And this is the life of the mu'min. Allah says, and if you do this, Allah says, look, I've given you the message in the Quran. Ramadan says, and if you live your life like this, and you are the hafiz of the Quran, and you recite the Quran, and you're a good person, and the rest of your life you respect the Quran, and you follow its direction. The hadith tells us, the half person who is a hafiz of the Quran, imagine, because the hafiz has a greater rank than just reading physically, verbally. You know, you understand the rank of the hafiz. So the Quran cuts through all this and says that the fast, Ramadan says, the fast, Allah says, the fast is done for my sake and I will give the reward. But the fast gives us the message that you make me a waste if you don't take the hidayah from the Quran. So Ramadan gives us a message, you can be a hafid, you're a qari, you've memorized the Quran, you are a muallim, you are a scholar, you have a great link with the Quran. In the same way, just like you can spoil your fast by not following the Quran and you will forget all of your rank and status if in the Quran, whatever Quran says halal, if you don't consider halal, if you don't consider what's haram as haram, then you will spoil your link with the Quran. Then you won't be standing as a hafiz of the Quran in the hereafter, not as a qari, not as an alim. No, you will have no link with the Quran. Just like morning and evening, when you break the fast, it won't be a fast that you've just practiced. No, it will not be a fast. Oh, you will have lost out. You think I fasted, no reward. You think, oh, there's a mu'min, I'm a believer, I'm walking. But Allah Ta'ala says, Ramadan gives us a message. People praise him. Oh, he recited Quran, he had qiraat and recitation. Allah says, people will praise you. But here you'll be asked, what was your relationship with the Quran? What was your physical implementation of the Quran? What guidance did you take? Hudal linnas. How much hidayah did you take at that time? So Allah says, today you've understood me as the guidance. If you take a principle of the Quran as haram, even a person was memorized the Quran and read it by looking or without looking, subhanAllah, the people who read the Quran, who practice the Quran, they will take the reward with them into the grave. Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala says, Shafi'u, the Quran will do shifa for the people. It will intercede for the people. First and foremost, alhamdulillah, whose shifa will the Quran seek? Whose intercession? That those 10 individuals, the hafiz, who's done hifz of the Quran, who's memorized the Quran, he will intercede for those 10 people who wajib billahu an-nar. Allah says that Jahannam was wajib. Some people, Jannah is wajib compulsory, but those people on whom Jahannam, hellfire was wajib, Allah Ta'ala has decided that he's going to Jannah. Imagine the shan, the status of that hafiz, that qari. He'll say, Allah, these 10 people who are related to me or who I know, please bring them out of Jahannam. So that hafiz will intercede for them. Allah says, I will accept your intercession. Those 10 people will come, 10 people will be taken out of Jahannam and put into paradise. So imagine the quality and the effect. The hafiz of Quran, qari, the life is according to a mu'min. He kisses the Quran, looks at the Quran, touches the Quran, reads the Quran. If he doesn't practice the Quran, then where will he go? So the fast tells us that just like you have kept me as a fast, and these hours, 19, 20 hours or more, you've spent fasting and in control, that can you not follow a bit of, can you practice the Quran in your life, even if you get problems or issues and highs and lows or poverty, hunger? Okay, just spend the little amount of time you have in your life according to the Quran. The fast gives us permission, but take the guidance from the Quran. At least, so now the mu'min, the quality of the mu'min, the fast tells us the message that your life, it's not in your control, the result. It's not how do I get up? Even the factors, components of life, how do I get up, eat and drink and walk? How will I get a job? How will I run the madrasa? How will I go on a journey? How will I study in the madrasa? How will I teach the students? How will I collect the donations? How will I fulfill my expenses and the needs? All of the needs of life. How shall I earn and go and travel? Have a wife, children, have a job, business, this and that job. Allah Ta'ala says this is nothing, nothing of this is in the control of a mu'min. Udallin nas, Allah says, take the guidance from the Quran for everything. Allah, how do I take hidayah from the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says that one Quran is collected in the pages of the Quran. There's another form of the Quran that was walking, talking, physical practice. Rahmatul lil alameen. Nabi al Kareem. Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen. Wama arsalnaka, Allah says, I sent to you the mercy. Subhanallah. So Allah says, I revealed the Quran and I sent the physical Quran to you. Subhanallah. So when something is revealed, you can't see it, but it's revealed, and how it's being revealed. Direct, it was revealed, the Quran, to the beautiful chest of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wama arsalnaka, Allah says, and then if Allah Ta'ala wants to make it apparent, arsalna, Allah says, I sent the Quran to you. So the Quran is revealed and it came into the heart and the chest, and this Quran was sent to us physical. The physical being of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha was asked, and Rasulullah, and she replied that he was the walking, talking Quran. This was his akhlaq, if you want to know his conduct and manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the walking, talking Quran. So if we are doing amal on the sunnah and we are living our life according to the sunnah, then what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? What is tawakkal? What is trust in Allah? What is this and that? And we do amal on this, we practice on this, then what do we need to do? Subhanallah, then make the lifestyle and pattern. We need to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look, his hadith and mubarakah, his explanations, his practice, his method. And this is called ittiba, following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very simple life. Allah says every mu'min who lives his life like this, the fast is telling us this, then you'll be successful. I just give you some training in these 30 days of Ramadan. I create an attraction and a connection with the Quran for you. I explain to you. Now it's your choice. Do you take that into your life or not? Either you obey shaitan and are afraid, oh, I'm going to die, oh, I'm going to pass away, I don't have any money, I can't succeed, I'm poor. Okay, if you can pass your time like that, the rest of your life will pass like that. There'll be no success. Oh, let's make Ramadan good. We do tawbah. We need to look inside our hearts, stand in front of the mirror and ask ourselves that this is my life. Will this assist me, help me in the hereafter? If the mirror says yes, your whole life is correct and everything you're doing is according to the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his order, you are implementing all your deeds and all the dalail are there in your life, then don't worry, you have nothing to worry about. Alhamdulillah, then you carry on living your life like this. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.